What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, we do a nice ode to Kobe, Gigi, and the rest of those who lost their lives in the helicopter crash 2 years ago. What it means to really use that Mamba mentality and honor those. We also get to preview the AFC and NFC Championship. We've got a big announcement as well. We're going to be sending some peeps to the Super Bowl, so pretty pumped on that. When we talk some NBA, it sounds like James Harden could really be on the market this summer. Anthony Davis is back. Steph Curry can't make a shot. We cover it all right here.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
A blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
And the Lakers lead.
Mamba out. What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settlement. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, before we get to what's on your mind, we're going to do, you know, a special honor, special remembrance, just a quick chat about what is now the two-year anniversary of that fatal helicopter crash. You know, it's a unique moment for us on this podcast. You know, we started the pod during the summer before we got our first guest, pretty close to that with Austin and D White. And, but our first in person, and we were previewing the Super Bowl. Now we're previewing the AFC NFC Championship with the week change. But we were live recording during the moment where we found out the news that Kobe, his daughter, and others passed away. My reaction this morning was like,
you were the worst this morning.
What do you mean?
You had to do the 24-24 Lakers 500 record.
I actually thought that was like kind of mind blowing. Like, what are the actual chances that they're 24-24? Abe, I didn't even realize it. A bunch of people pointed
24 months since the death.
24 months. If you want to go 24-24, that's two. Everyone knows that was Gigi's number. Abe, they're in eighth place in the West, too.
That's what I was going to
Like, and so we joked about a little. Like, it got a little ridiculous with the numbers. Like, Kyrie Irving played 33 minutes, and if you add those up and divide them by the amount of shots he took, right? Like, but this one, you know, on this day was weird, given that I was at the game last night. But my overall feeling was, like, I still don't know. If, like, it's been conceptualized to myself, to others, it really is one of the craziest things that will ever happen in sports. This is one of the most famous athletes in the world dying right outside of his prime with his daughter. It just makes it more tragic. But, like, I can't begin to imagine, you know, Tiger Woods got in the car crash. I think the world stopped for a day. Thankfully, he was all right, and he's kind of recovered. But we've never seen something, and he really meant more to the game of basketball, but really to people, than I think I even captured over the past 2 years. So I was enjoying. I do think it is awesome how it's kind of turned into a positive in a way of like remembering Kobe, remembering the lives that were lost, but because of his energy and his ferocity and tenacity, like it's a positive of like, go out, be great today, have a good week. So those are my thoughts. I'm curious, you know, how it kind of played out for you.
Yeah, I think this is a day. This is like, listen, it's a sad day, but in the same time, it's a happy day because people get to like every day you're not thinking about Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. But on today, everyone is coming together. They're talking about his top moments as a player. They're talking about his impact off the court and his help in women's basketball. The one thing that I wanted to go back to about your tweet this morning and the fact that the Lakers are 24-24 in eighth place. If Kobe saw that the Lakers were 24-24, he would be so fucking pissed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, he doesn't want a 508 seed record attributed to his name on his day. But no, this is going to be a special day going forward for the rest of our lives because of who Kobe was. But every time this day comes around, I think it's important to not, obviously Kobe and Gigi are going to be in the
headlines,
the camera, yeah. Mostly the headlines, but it's mostly important to remember that Kobe and Gigi weren't the only people lost in that helicopter accident. And for the families of the other seven or nine people that were lost, like today's even harder for them because they're thinking about their loved ones, and every time they flip the TV, they look on Twitter, they're reminded of the accident, but they're not reminded of their children. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something going forward that sticks out to me in this day. It's like, yes, Kobe and Gigi died, and everyone knew them because they were global icons and Kobe's impact on this earth. But there were 9 other human lives that were lost that day whose death affects so many people, that goes beyond friends, family, everybody. So
yeah,
this will be a special day going forward. I think it transitioned. I feel like last year it was kind of more of a sadder day because it was fresh in our minds. It's the first anniversary. Yeah. But today the news networks and the sports networks did a good job of remembering him. And I think this going forward will be more of a happier day than it was 2 years ago, obviously, and it was 365 days ago.
Yeah.
But I just would like
the most important names. John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, and Ara Zobayan. So, yeah, I think it's our job to make sure we don't forget about those. My final takeaway, then we'll move on, is, and I've mentioned this over the past couple of years, so I assume it will continue to ring true, is like he felt not it's not real life. Like Kobe Bryant doesn't die because he's not a real person. He's a superhero, and superheroes don't die like that. And so that's what I cherish about this day, is the opportunity to remember, okay, I got to call my grandparents, I got to call my parents, because I know sure as well they can't shoot like
Kobe. Did you call your grandparents today?
I haven't, and I need to. And I put it on my daily journal of something to do, because like it's
in your diary.
Yeah, it's in my diary. But in all seriousness, it's like you can't take Kobe from us. He would never be taken. But you couldn't stop him on a basketball court. He was a real life superhero. And so if he can go, you know, us mortals are definitely, you know, you never know. So to live every day to the fullest. I get it's cliche, but we definitely don't. I mean, we sit here and we do not live every day to the fullest. That's why I like this day in a positive light. So
I think, yeah, I think you just remind, like, I didn't even think to call my grandmother today. And I think I need to, because she embodies Kobe in every way when she's in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Like, she has a killer mentality in the kitchen, and she's just an artist with her craft, and she reminds me of Kobe in that aspect. So I'm going to give my grandmother a call after we record this podcast.
I love that.
Her if she'll have me over for dinner sometime this week.
She'll probably love that too. Well, let's move on to someone who does not have a killer mindset, who would...
You didn't ask about what's on my mind.
Well, I'm about to lead into that. I was just going to say someone who could really use the Mamba mentality, and that's that serial loser with a big beard who stat compiles. Abe, what's on your mind today?
I don't know who you're referring to. There's a lot of people with beards, maybe Bobby Portis or somebody.
He's an NBA champion.
What's on my mind? Jack, there's a saying. That saying is, where there's smoke, there's fire. And by God, has there been a ton of smoke around Mr. Jimmy Harden this week. You know what? Time is a flat circle. Last year we were in a pandemic.
No, and the Sixers world were is a flat circle, Kyrie.
Right, exactly. That's going to help me. Last year we were in a pandemic and the Sixers were getting James Harden. This year we're in a pandemic and motherfucker, the Sixers are actually getting James Harden at this point. I'll bet you. I'll bet it. Standard hun.
You're caught up a little bit in the hun.
No. It's facts. No, it's facts.
Before I make fun of you for Dame Lillard and for all the other players and
happenings, well, if you offload Ben and Tobias, you can fit Dame and James.
For sure. No, I totally
but
understand.
Dame wouldn't want to ring. Okay, he loves the Dame loves the grind. Did you hear about that?
He does love the grind. Give me your verified sources, who they are, and the reasons why you genuinely believe. Please don't play the video live. Just speak it. I can't hear his
voice. I'm not gonna play the video live.
I'm just nervous.
There's no one singular person that you can single out. Shams tweeted the other day.
Said what?
That the Sixers and James Harden are a thing, and Daryl Morey could be angling with this Ben Simmons deal and hold out to the offseason to get James Harden. You have different beat reporters from Brooklyn, from Philadelphia, from people on ESPN to saying, this is real. Like, right now, this is real. And the reason that I actually like...
But Abe...
Take away my Sixers fandom. Hear me out here. James Harden had the opportunity to sign an extension earlier this year. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden's never been an unrestricted free agent before. He has the opportunity this summer. Now, he can explore other options like Philadelphia and wherever and maybe go back to Brooklyn. But going back to Brooklyn, this, what the Brooklyn Nets are, James Harden didn't sign up for. Mm-hmm. He didn't sign up for Kyrie to be a part-time player.
This is who knows if this Northeast. I was at the game last night. That team, he...
They have no fans. You can attest to that.
They have no fans. They have nothing. But really, the players on the court. Now, they're missing three starters.
And where was I? Oh, yeah. James Harden didn't sign up for this. He didn't sign up for Kyrie to be a part-time player. KD and Kyrie already have rings. There's a sense of urgency for James to get a ring.
And you think leaving Brooklyn, this is why I can't buy into the Harden stuff.
KD is hurt as a again.
As a non-biased party, I totally agree. There is, it makes sense in terms of like Philly is an option. But I'm not necessarily buying much around like it's Philly because this Tadpole Brown guy that you've got at CEO.
Well, there's Daryl Morey too. Right.
But is that a good
and there thing? And there's like, a guy by the and there's a guy by the name of Joel Embiid who couldn't compliment a guy like James Harden better.
Sure, but you start off by saying angling around like rings. There's no better. I know it's not great today.
No, I know. I'm not saying James Harden thinks he has a better chance to win a championship in Philadelphia versus Brooklyn. But what I'm saying is this isn't what James Harden signed up for
today.
Nobody knows.
Today, but like in mid-March, when they're still atop...
When Kyrie is still a part-time player and they're playing on the road, they don't have home court advantage in the NBA Conference Finals. What do you mean?
That's a good thing if they're playing on the road.
No, that's what I'm saying. But when they're home, like NBA Finals.
But
games.
I think we're getting lost in the moment of today on January 26th. I'm talking March 14th, their top three seed. I understand it hasn't been great throughout, and right now he has to carry. But KD's back. Joe Harris is back. Harden
KD's
is
not back.
I'm saying in March, these guys are back.
Who knows if KD's back? KD, I don't need to pull out the stats of the number of games KD has played
Joel
in the last 4 or 5 years.
Joel Embiid is not the most health conscious person in the league either. So once again, caught up.
He's
in
not,
the
but
moment.
He's 5 years younger than Kevin Durant.
Caught up in the moment is what I'm saying. And look, and here's the difference: nothing can happen until the end of the season, until the summer, right? So for those listening, we're not even talking
unless Harden asks out in the next 2 weeks.
We're not
even lose to a team like the Lakers.
We're not even talking deadline right now, which means there's just a lot that can change. It could change in the positive. Like you said, KD could never come back this season. Kyrie could never play at home, and they could lose in the first round of playoffs. Yeah, maybe James is out at that point. He signs a max. There's a lot of incentive to stay. KD comes back. Kyrie gets to play, COVID clears up, he's playing full time, they win the title, he gets to sign a supermax and stay in Brooklyn with his friends. That, you know, there's a lot that can change. So I just think it's aggressively in the moment. At what makes the dynamic interesting is what do you do at the deadline? Because are you going all chips in? I think you kind of do have to make a decision, and you tell me, you follow it closer, what the situation is. Do they have to make a move at the deadline, in your opinion, to then open it up and say, okay, we're fully going after James Harden?
I don't know the salary cap implications of keeping Tobias and trying to add James, assuming that Ben gets offloaded, whether that's now, whether that's a sign-in trade with Brooklyn, Ben for James, but I don't know how it affects now. But what I do know is that if the reports are true that Sacramento is potentially willing to take on Ben and Tobias, then you bring in James in the offseason and you have Halliburton picks and whatever. Maybe they develop and you keep them and you just run with James or Embiid. Or you turn that package plus Maxey plus Matisse, like the Sixers still have good tradable pieces, into another guy. Like there's so much that can happen. But I think your question revolves around...
Yeah, do they need to make something at the deadline?
No. Absolutely not. I don't think
so. You think they just roll it with Tobias and Ben? And...
I think the only way they do something at the deadline is if it involves Ben and Tobias. I don't think they'll trade Ben just by himself.
And you're cool with that because you believe it's...
I've been cool with that the entire time. I still don't want to trade Ben. I still don't want to do it until the offseason, even if James isn't in the thing.
I'm talking at the break, though, at the trade
deadline. Yeah, I've never wanted to trade Ben at the trade deadline since this thing...
You're cool with trading Ben and Tobias at the deadline.
Yeah. If it offloads the Tobias contract, which breaks my heart, I know, hate to see him go, love to watch him leave type deal, then I'm cool with it because you free up a lot of cap where I think three teams going into next year are below the salary cap, and they're like the Pelicans, the Pistons, three of the worst teams in the NBA. So you free up the cap space. You have a lot of room to do stuff with. The only reason I would be skeptical to give away Ben is because I think the idea, if James asks out, then why wouldn't Brooklyn do a sign and trade for Ben? Like, Brooklyn would still be fire with Kyrie, Ben, and KD. Mm-hmm. So unless it involves Ben and Tobias, I'm out at the deadline. The Sixers can stay put. The Sixers are two games out of first place. And you know what, Jack? Right now, I'm enjoying expectationless basketball, and it's a beautiful thing. I'm watching the best player in the world right now go out and absolutely dominate. Right now, he's the best player in the world. He's playing the best
in the world. So this whole 12 minutes that I said, I think we're caught up in the moment, rings true with that statement.
I mean, it's a biological, it's objective fact that Joel Embiid is playing the best basketball in the world right now. It's like you cannot deny that, or you're just ignorant, or you just hate me, which is fine as long as you admit it that that's it. But nobody... is this like nobody thinks Joel Embiid isn't playing the best? He's not the best player in the world. He's the fifth best player in the world, but he's playing the best, like the best player in the world right now. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it because do I think the Sixers are going to win a title like with this roster? No, I don't. But I'm enjoying watching Joel Embiid play basketball
and you're not
every
even saying
single.
They could like because this is the best version.
No, they can't. Yeah, no, they can't win a title with the roster as it is. Because
can
I didn't
ask
realize
a serious question that doesn't come out of deep rooted hate for you or your teams. Genuinely, have you guys played a single good team during the stretch? Only because I've been betting on Joel, and I feel like every game is like Magic, Hornets, like these off. I'm trying to rack my brain. Like,
we beat Brooklyn by 8. Oh wait, yeah, nope, wrong game. Derek played Derek White.
Yep.
Beat the Heat.
Okay.
Beat the Celtics. Beat the Hornets.
Okay.
Beat the Nets.
Uh huh.
So no, listen, we play who's putting.
Yeah, this was just a genuine like I'm trying because you haven't been on national TV and they keep putting the Knicks on national TV, which is mind blowing.
Play the Lakers on national TV tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Let's see what he does against AD because AD's a beat. Let's move on to football.
80's a what?
He's a beast on defense. It's insane the impact he makes on the floor. It really is.
Pretty sure Joel averages like 30 and 13 against him, but that's fine.
Perfect. He'll showcase it tomorrow night. AFC, NFC Championship weekend. First off, we are not officially confirmed, people, but pretty close to confirmed that we are going to be sending two people from the Snapback fam to the Super Bowl. It will all be free to enter, so pretty excited.
Unfortunate for all of you, those two people will be Eagleson and I, so competition has now ended.
Yes, besides those two, we will have a separate entry for all of you, so get excited. We'll announce that when that time comes. As for the games and the teams who will be participating, that will be decided on Sunday. First game is Cincinnati versus the Chiefs.
Are you even excited?
No.
For these games, like I feel like we were
me
at such a.
Personally, though, it's just if Burrow wins,
I don't think
I'm
anybody
pissed.
Is.
If Mahomes wins,
I don't think anybody's excited for either of these games. It's just because, like, how can you sit back and think we're going to get anything better than what we got of a product last week?
Yeah, you're not
like
it's bad. That's for sure.
It's just like no matter what, this week of football will be worse than next, and it's just one week closer to no football. There's nothing positive about it.
I think
like
if
we
you're
know who's
going to
win both
Bengals
of these games,
fan, you're adopting the underdog mindset. You're adopting a pretty cool kind of young team. You think you're on top of the world right now. Watch this week's Here to Argue. I explain why Josh Allen will never win a Super Bowl. Anyways,
I think you're the number one clickbait on the internet.
No, it's not clickbait.
Jack, I didn't watch Jack. The graphic for this week was Aaron Rodgers in a Giants jersey.
Yeah, he might be going to the Giants. Look, we got to get people in the door one way. But the general point that I'm curious about, because I reacted hot and came up with the thesis then. Not thesis, it was just the thought process. And now that I've had more time to think, I really don't think people understand. Like, you're Cincinnati, right? You're playing the AFC Championship. Your quarterback is in his second year. Your coach is in early in his career. You think you have your guy for the next decade, but this might be it. This literally may be the peak for Cincinnati. You've got rare cases like the Chiefs where they do it year in, year out. You've got rare cases like the Patriots, but this could be it. You might lose this game. Russell Wilson might get traded to the Browns. Rodgers may get traded to Pittsburgh. And you might be the fourth seed in your own division next year.
Or you might be.
Or we might be. But Cincinnati, I just think it's crazy. I mean, the Niners went through it, right? They went to the Super Bowl. They figure, okay, we're here. We got the team. Next year, last in the division. That's what we love about the NFL. It's not like the NBA. But with that being said, do I think Cincinnati has a chance? I think the line is a bit disrespectful. I think 7's a lot. Now, what does that mean in this case? The reason why is not because they beat the Chiefs a few weeks ago. I don't buy any of that. I actually think that's a negative in this situation. I think the Chiefs defense got exposed. They had a really good stretch, but this is the type of team that can expose the secondary in Kansas City. And so I think they can score with them. Now, can they stop them? Let me stop you there.
Got exposed by one of the best teams in football over the last 24 months.
That's what Cincy is right now with their weapons and Burrow. Like, they are.
I said 24 months.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Josh Allen's. But this team's hot. You've seen it as an Eagles fan. Sometimes it's better to be hot. Buffalo was not rolling. They got hot in the game.
I don't know what that means. We were the one seed and won 14 games that year, so.
What do you mean? You were underdogs playoff game you played in.
Right, but you need to say, like, we're riding high luck and everything. No, we won 14 games, so shut your mouth.
You were hot. Like, you were hot over the span of the season is what I'm saying. It was your year.
Yes, from week one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was your year. This is Cincy's year, so can they stay hot in the playoffs? And I think I want to root for them, too, because the Super Bowl wouldn't be as entertaining, but – I don't know. I'm over Mahomes, both him, Jackson, and Mrs. I'm over.
How can you be? Is being over Mahomes solely because of Lamar type thing? No, like, how can you be over something?
He's played in four straight AFC championships at home. Like, something fresh is.
But watch him. And how can you get sick of it?
You know, it's funny.
It's coming from. He's just like,
what did
like,
he do?
Josh
Allen was more entertaining in the game than him.
It's because we've grown so accustomed to what Mahomes does.
But name a play in the game. Like, the final drive to me,
I disagree. I think the Bills did exactly what it took to beat Mahomes. Did you see how many times the Bills had a sack?
He's slippery.
And he got out of every single one. The Bills had two sacks in that game. I'd be surprised if they could have had 8 or 9 with the amount of pressure that they got on Mahomes. He is just different. If you want to talk about one play, I mean, Lamar throws his sidearm every time he throws the ball, but that one sidearm throw to Tyreek Hill.
That was cool. But overall, 60 minutes or 60 whatever minutes, like, he's – what's crazy about his game –
he didn't turn the ball over.
It feels like he could do this forever because exactly that. It's like – check down, hit you deep. Check down, make a play, whatever. And Josh Allen's just more entertaining to me. But we'll see. We will definitely see. The game's going to come down to defense in this one. There's no doubt about that.
I disagree. Because no matter how bad the Chiefs' defense is on Sunday, the Bengals can't keep up with the Chiefs. There's an aspect of we've been here before and we know this moment versus we are riding a high and think we have a chance. You remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Eagles versus the Bucks, and I was telling you, we're going to win this game. You're like, you can say that as a fan and everything, but you don't actually believe it. It's the same thing in the Bengals locker room and in their city right now.
Do you think so?
They don't actually... they don't actually believe that they're going to win this game. I thought, like, you could have said to me, you can say that you think you have a chance.
Right.
And I think Bengals fans can say that they have a chance. But to confidently, as a Bengals fan or being in that locker room, to say we're going to win this game, as a Bengals fan, put yourself in their shoes right now. Maybe you can, maybe you can't do this. If you're a Bengals fan, you're telling me you're going to win this game. Why? Why are they going to win?
They beat them a few weeks ago. So off that alone, right, you're like, we can beat them. You know, what's funny is the refereeing in the game was awful. The Chiefs scored 28 in the first half. They only scored 3 in the second half. Like, there's no doubt that they couldn't stop him, and then something changed. And that's why I say, like, the fact that they beat him is actually a negative in this case. But to answer your question, if there's one reason why, I mean, the same reason you were like, Hurts played awful and we almost beat them in Philly. Like, that's kind
and
of.
And I'm delusional, Jack. But the thing that's making me mad most about the Bengals, and don't get me wrong, the Bengals are a swaggy team. Like, mm-hmm. It's hard not to like them with the people that they have. But the idea that they're playing like this lights out football, they didn't beat the Titans beat themselves. Yep. And they got lucky against the Raiders on a touchdown that should have been called back. Not saying the game would have went a different direction, but the Bengals aren't playing amazing football right now. They put up 26 and 19 points, and people are thinking they're like the hottest team in football. No, they're not. They just got a good draw in the first two rounds, and now they're running into the best team ever and the best quarterback ever. That's where it all comes crashing down.
I do agree with that. I think that's why the line, and we've joked about it all year, Vegas has told us, since he isn't good. Your touchdown underdogs in an AFC championship, you're not that good. That's why I say this might be the mountaintop for Cincinnati. But that's kind of why we love football, because it is one game. And since he can do things, Ja'Marr Chase can put up Gabe Davis numbers. We know that. He could do that on Sunday.
What? He could. Jerry Rice couldn't even do that.
That's fair.
What? Nobody's putting up 8 for 270,000 and 6 touchdowns.
But that offense can ball. And outside of defensively, what is intriguing, Abraham, since he can kind of run the ball from time to time with Mixon, and we haven't seen Kansas City.
Okay,
good luck
beating the Chiefs running the ball.
You won't. But
trying to keep up with them scoring, running
the
ball.
You won't. But one of the things you will do is timely runs. And that's something Kansas City still is sucking at. And once again, where does Kansas City actually struggle most? As big favorites. They go up 14-0. They start running the ball, which they suck at. They kind of mess around, let you stay in the game. And then all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, if we don't get this first, since you might have a chance to come down the field and win the game. They shouldn't have won the game on Sunday. Like, that's a fact. So Buffalo essentially beat them. They didn't, but they essentially beat them. They're not unbeatable. I think that is nice for Cincy. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. And I think I want to root for Cincy. I've been a realist on Cincy. They've outperformed expectations. I want to get on the Cincy bandwagon. I'm trying to talk myself into it.
Cool. You want to talk yourself into it, Jack? Look me in the eye and tell me the Bengals have a chance in this game. You can't.
I can tell you they have a chance. Can I tell you they're going to win? Like I said, the Niners are going to win against the Packers, and
I guess that's fair. Leicester City had a chance to win the Premier League or whatever they did. So in that regard, sure.
Touchdown favorites, NFL.
There's a 0.000000 chance the Bengals beat the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah, I
told you this with the Rams and the Buccaneers. I was right. I was confident. I'm equally as confident in this. No, I'm way more confident, to be honest.
NFC Championship.
It's easier betting against Brady than it is Burrow, though. I'll tell you that much. It's very easy to bet against Brady.
Yeah, for sure. NFC Championship, Niners versus Rams. Niners.
Oh, you didn't give me a lead into score predictions.
Oh, you want to? All right, go ahead.
38-14, Kansas City.
Wow. Okay.
38-14.
This is my biggest worry before my score prediction is Zach Taylor, because we've seen it time and time again. The only way to beat Kansas City is to just throw out everything you normally do and be as aggressive, because a punt is a turnover. And so if you got to go on 4th and 4 from your own 35, you know they're going to score if you don't get it, but they'll probably score if you kick it back to them. So I'm worried he won't be aggressive. It'll cost the team. We've seen last year, Buffalo got up 9-0 on them. They play conservative. Houston got up big on them. They play conservative. They can score quickly. You can't. You just have to go as if it's 0-0 the whole time, or that you're down 14, and I don't see Zach Taylor doing that. So for that reason, I think 31-21, I'm going to go Kansas City. But by Sunday, I will 1,000% be in a Joe Burrow jersey or Evan McPherson. To L.A. we go. The Battle of Cali, Niners-Rams. Niners picked up 6 straight against McVay with Shanahan as the coach. Rams blew a 17-point lead against the Niners late in the season, week 18 of the season, actually. Tried to blow a 24-point lead last week, but I'm all Rams here. Are we crazy for this?
Nope, all Rams here. I mean, Matt Stafford, aside from Mahomes, is playing the best, if not better than Mahomes right now. Yeah. Matt Stafford is absolutely balling. He got the monkey off his back in the first week. He beat Brady in the second week, and now he has a chance to go to the Super Bowl, which he was stuck in Detroit his entire career. And the thing about the Niners, and specifically Jimmy Garoppolo, one, he's sexy. Let's just say it again.
So sexy.
Two, he wins, but he's not the reason they ever win, and he's not even a game manager. Like, he doesn't play well when they're winning these games. He made timely throws against Green Bay, but he didn't play well in that game. Like, if the Niners want a chance in this game, listen, they have a way bigger chance to win this game than the Bengals do. Don't get it wrong. Why not let Trey Lance go out there and throw the ball? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is not winning this game by himself, and you're going to have to score a lot of points to beat the Rams. Now, the Niners can do that with the way they beat you, with the different types of misdirections and Debo Samuel and Kittle and stuff like that. But in my opinion, if you want to win this game, you're going to have to score 30 points. Can you see the 49ers scoring 30 points against the Rams defense that's honestly looking really good right now? I know that last week they had the blown lead and everything, but that was one bad coverage by Jalen Ramsey on that Mike Evans touchdown. And the rest was just fantastic field position because the Rams offense shot themselves in the foot. That Rams defense is finally being what we thought it was supposed to be. Von Miller looks like Von Miller. Aaron Donald is just, there's not even words to describe him. And I know that Kyle Shanahan has McVay's number. I don't really care about all that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be able to score with the Rams because of how good that Rams defense actually is.
Yeah.
And it's felt like the Rams have been up and down the entire, like, honestly, the Rams remind me of the Chiefs of past that have had all this success. They've been great in the regular season, but they've had a lot of question marks. But come the postseason, the defense shored up, and that's all they needed to happen. And that's kind of what's happening with the Rams right now. So, I mean, it's, I don't think we're getting an exciting game out of these two. I hate to say it. I think we got all the excitement out last weekend. I see chalk across the board, and I see covers across the board too. I don't see any way either of these games are close. Now, I would love for them to be close. I just don't see it with these matchups.
I totally agree. I think last week we kind of felt they had a chance against the Packers. The week before, we knew they had a great chance against Dallas. And I think this is where the buck stops. I don't necessarily agree that Jimmy can't get the job done, though. I really do think there is a path for him to making.
He can't. He won't be the reason they get the job done.
I disagree. I think he's good enough for.
That means that he has to go out and throw for 303 touchdowns. You think Jimmy Garoppolo can do that?
I don't necessarily think that's true. He was. You don't understand. He's been bad the past two.
Fine. Can he throw for 250 and one touchdown, but on 75% completion percentage?
Absolutely, he can. Now, I'm not sure he can. Their O-line has to hold up, and he's not going to do it all by himself. But he can make throws. He can make plays. Last week was a tough one, but once again, Aaron Rodgers had the same exact chance as Jimmy Garoppolo, and only one of them led their team completely down the field in the 2-minute drill to win the game. So he can get the job done. I just think this Rams team, I think, is the best roster in football left, like not even remotely close, especially for playoff football. If you swap Mahomes and Stafford, I'm pretty sure the Chiefs would be like minus 800 to go and win the Super Bowl, save for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. So
wait, whoa. What did you just say?
I said if you swap Mahomes and Stafford, I think the Rams with Mahomes would be minus 800 to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. I thought you said that the Chiefs would be bigger favorites.
No, that's how good the Rams roster. That's why I've picked them the whole year And Stafford, I think, is a stud. He was just playing Detroit, and now he's got Cooper Kupp, and they're, you know, they're killing people. So I do.
And Odell, like, Odell is nasty, and the thing is, he's never not been. I know I'm an Odell truther, and I always have been since he left New York, but I was a closet Odell guy in New York. This guy is unbelievable. He's a wide receiver one on 75% of the teams in the NFL.
The Odell love is, you know, I love him.
It's real.
Too.
It's real.
I think he's, but look at the numbers. Like, he's averaging like 5 catches, 57 yards. It's not like he's going.
He's playing
great
with the number one receiver in football.
Totally.
Right now.
Totally. But, you know, it's not like he's the number one on this team now all of a sudden. Regardless of the fact, I think the two things that play into the Niners' hands here is, one, it will not be a true Rams home game. The Niners fans will travel. They did it in Week 18. I think that plays into it, especially that stadium gets really loud. So you could actually see, like, not momentum shifting fans, but like real life false starts, etc. Two, what makes the Rams special is their balance, and McVay having an open playbook and play action deep to Kupp and being able to run the ball hard against a really physical Niners front. Akers fumbled twice, but he was the back.
Yeah, give Sonny Michel the ball. I'm trying to win a lot of money for my fantasy
team. But they selected Akers as their guy for the playoffs. He, you know, 50% snaps in game one.
Last week they did, but he got.
But that's what I'm saying. They clearly made a decision that he is the starting running back and getting
9%. What's wrong with changing a decision?
That's what plays into the Niners' hands is, okay, maybe you take you put the worst athlete on the field for the Rams. And now, you know, because of Akers' fumbling issues last week, we'll see. That's an element. I'm definitely not close to saying, like, the Rams are a lock here. But I think the Rams are the better team. That's why they're favored by 4 at home. And I think they'll win the game. And I'd be excited for a home Rams Super Bowl, especially because I called it from the tin.
That's what I was going to say. The only thing making me hesitant to pick the Rams in this game is the fact that last year was the first time that a team ever played a home Super Bowl.
Once you break the trend.
Is it really going to happen 2 years in a row?
Look,
I think so.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the only hesitation
I have. The Niners are in San Fran, so it would already be a home state Super Bowl. So at that point, it's like.
That's a flight. That's a flight.
Yeah, I don't. Have you been to San Fran?
It's 100%. It's like, yeah, it's like 8-hour drive from San Fran to LA.
Okay. So. I'm going to call cap of the week on 8 hours, but let's split the difference.
Eagleson, look up the drive from SoFi Stadiums to San Francisco, California.
We're going to take a quick break. After the break, we'll have that information for you in case your internet's broken, and then we'll talk some more NBA. AD is back, Embiid is good. Steph can't make a jump shot. We'll talk about it all in a minute. We'll be right back. All right, fam, we are back. NBA chatter time. Although we did spend a long time about James Harden potentially being a New York Knick. I mean, 76er. I went to Lakers Nets last night. Thank you, Tick Pick. Shout out, you know, that experience.
Is everything okay with you and Tick Pick?
So, yes, everything is great. We're just doing some budget cuts right now to get me to the Super Bowl. So
they cut you.
Yeah, so they cut me pretty much. But no, it was great just to see. It's always cool to see LeBron in person. If you haven't done it, it's a pricey ticket, but it is definitely worth the price of admission. And I waited probably too long in my life to see him. I've now seen him 3 times. One time Mario Hezonja was shoving the ball back into his face. The others, you know, he was victorious. But Anthony Davis was back. And while Anthony Davis was shooting about as efficiently as Eagleson, left-handed, blindfolded, what I did notice is he is such a beast defensively. Like, he can truly guard. You can't pick and roll him because they'll just switch it. And he was strapping James Harden, like, was upsetting James Harden.
Yeah, to the tune of 31, 15, and 9.
Well, that's James Harden. He wasn't guarding James Harden, but when they would switch, because they were doing a lot of pick and roll, he really shut him down pretty well. Now, Harden's a special player. He had his, too.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Credit to AD. He did do a good job on a guy named De'Ron Sharp last night.
he was essentially playing free safety and just blocking everything. And the point is, it's going to make a major impact come playoff time. People forget He went down last year. They got knocked out of the playoffs. They were kind of up 2-1. I still think Suns had a chance, but you can't knock how important he is, even if he's not scoring great offensively. They're currently the 8th seed, so they're not even in the playoffs. They're in the play-in tournament. And I think they probably...
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing
wrong
with that. I'd envy that position, to be honest. But I think they're going to get within the top 5 or 6, maybe even 4. Like the West outside of the top, what is it, the Warriors and the Suns?
No, it's they. I think, let's call it 5. You got the Jazz that are 8 games out at 4, the Mavs that are 11 games out at 5, and then you got the Lakers that are 14 games out. So 3 games separating the 8 and the 5, 6 games separating the 8 and the 4.
And who's the 3?
Memphis.
Right.
Who's 6.5.
So to say Memphis won't fall to the 4 seed and the Lakers the 5, like, I think the Lakers realistically win that series in 5 games, 6 games.
I'm not as worried about the Lakers as everybody is.
I'm
for the
still
simple
all
fact
in on the Lakers.
That could be calculated, as Jack Settlement
no,
usually
I,
does.
No, I picked them preseason to win it all. I think this trio, if Russ isn't shitting the bed, is the
it,
best.
That's
trio.
The thing. Russ just has to not be the reason they lose.
Right.
And the Lakers have a chance to do anything they want, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, the role players aren't great and they're old and everything, but, like, Russ is actually a net negative in every asset of basketball.
When they're
right
playing
now.
Poorly. But last night, when he's playing well, he's really good for the team.
If he plays average with LeBron playing the way that he is this season and AD coming back, like, let's, I understand that AD was shooting as like Westbrook or Eagleson was in the beginning of the season, but we're still talking about the third best big in basketball right here. Like, let's not knock this guy. You saw what he did in the bubble, albeit the bubble, and nobody really cares about that with those shooting numbers. But if AD can get hot down the stretch, this Lakers team can easily make a run.
The thing, every time Anthony Davis is on the court, and what I fear for opposing teams is, it feels like they've got you covered. Like, there's never an open lane or shot. And when he went down last year, Suns went berserk because everything starts to open up. And it's really his impact defensively that changes things. With that being said, oh my God, the supporting cast of the Nets and the Lakers. I'm not talking like Joe Harris, Patty Mills. I'm not talking like pretty much everyone outside the big three on the Lakers. You can't count on them. They are some brutal basketball players. What are you going to do? Stanley Johnson? Now, with the three of them back, you only need like 2 contributions a night. Reeves last night at 7 boards, 6 assists. That was enough. And Kent Bazemore could come in, and who knows? Dwight didn't even play. He could find minutes in the playoffs. It's going.
That's how you lose, is if Dwight finds minutes in the playoffs.
It's going to be rough. Sled it, but like Malik Monk's on fire, and Stanley Johnson's giving him good minutes. So I think
that's the thing with these big three.
Can,
you
they
only
make a
need
move, right at the deadline, like one move.
No, they can't. No, they can't, Jack. Move? It's the three of them, and then it's 12 minimum.
No,
players.
I get that.
They will not,
you
unless
get
they get
Paul
somebody
Millsap?
Willing to. What's Paul Millsap
Dude,
doing that any of these that any
I
of these other guys
the Lakers
aren't doing?
Reserves last night. He's doing,
but it's something. Not do, but it's not like you can rely on Paul Millsap every night to be
but
that
I'm saying,
outside.
It's very
like you can if LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook are playing to their potential, or if Russell Westbrook's playing average. You only need one or two of these guys a night, and any move that you make, a Paul Millsap or any type of that type of player, it's the same as any of these other guys, Jack. Pick
what about
out a hat
buyout? The buyout market, you know, Blake.
They have no money unless they deal Russell Westbrook.
But
they physically cannot.
End
the
up
Lakers
in contracts is my point. Why couldn't they move? They could move THT. They could move THT.
Why would they want to do that? They wouldn't. Didn't want to trade him for Harden.
They, I
is he
like
good?
THC? No, he's terrible. Yeah. Like that. Like, that's what, Lakers fans have completely 180'd on him. So
good. They should 180 on AD as well.
And send him elsewhere.
I mean, he's just not that good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Best big in basketball 2 years ago.
Stephen Curry can't make jump shots. Is there any explanation for the such? Like, It's officially slump territory. It's the whole month. It wasn't 2 weeks. It's the whole month. He's not a good shooter. Explain that to me.
He's Steph Curry. Are you worried?
I am worried. In the what? sense, in the sense of not will a shot return, of like, I just need an explanation, because I don't trust a lot of things going on in the world if he's shooting like this for this long.
Justin Tucker missed two field goals against the Bills in the playoffs.
Right. But that was one windy night. That was one cold, windy night in Buffalo. This is many arenas across the country over the span of a month. He doesn't do this. He's never shot this poorly in his life. Steph Curry's washed up. I think that's the only explanation.
I mean, or the explanation could be that Steph does not like playing with Clay.
But he was slumping before Clay came back. Let me tell you this in the way Warriors fans are going to want to hear. They haven't stopped winning games. And last night, they were balanced AF. James Wiseman comes back. Draymond Green is coming back. Steph shooting is coming back.
Draymond
Green is a good player. You can hate him as much as you want. He is a pivotal part of the team, and he is an excellent, excellent player, specifically on defense. But for that team, he's wonderful. And Clay's only getting better day by day. I didn't even consider them like true contenders. I didn't think they had the outlook of one. But the West kind of stinks a little bit, huh?
The West absolutely stinks. The West is 10 cuties, and one of them's just going to not get lucky.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the year, if you looked at the West, you would say one team has a chance to get to the championship. You said it was the Lakers. Now, you can argue the Warriors because they were getting... Did you?
Not preseason. I had the Suns missing the playoffs. But once I saw that team working together, can we give some love?
You had the... Wait. You had the Suns missing the playoffs this year?
No, that's impressive. No, not this year. Last year.
Talking about this year. Like, the Grizzlies are not... No, the Grizzlies can't win a championship. No, the Jazz can't win a championship. No, the Mavericks can't win a championship. No, the Nuggets can't win a championship. Unless Anthony Edwards is Black Jesus for every single game for the rest of the year, no, the Timberwolves can't win a championship. The Clippers lost Kawhi and Paul George now. Like,
keep going down there. What about De'Aaron Fox, De'Aaron Smith, Tobias Harris, and Benjamin Simmons?
If the Kings get Tobias or Ben Simmons or both, I will be betting on them to make the playoffs.
Oh, easily. They would be excellent.
They're three games out of the play-in right now. I mean, they'll lose Halliburton, Hield, Barnes.
That's fine. They would get significantly better.
Yeah, I mean, Tobias dropped 33 last night. You're only as good as your last game.
That's true. That is very true. I had one more name I wanted to bring up in this conversation, but
we can cut it off if you want.
It's escaping my memory. I'm not being facetious about Ben. I actually had, was it a team in the West, team in the East? Regardless, I still do think the Lakers should be heavy, you know, opportunists to get out of the West. The Warriors are legit. In the Eastern Conference, you know, I think it's Bucks. I haven't heard the Bucks name in a while either. They're just steady as a bee. The Nets are a mess. The Chicago stinks again. They're injured.
It's the Bucks or the Nets. It's the Bucks or the Nets.
No, it's Miami not. It's, love?
Nope. I'm asking you that question.
What?
Miami love?
No Miami love for me.
No Miami love. They got it.
Although, I'll tell you a funny story.
I'm sure it's not that funny.
Shout out Tick Pick for sending me to the game last night. No, at the game. Or before the game, I get a DM from someone who follows me from NFTs on Twitter and says, yo, I got an extra ticket for the game. I'm like, well, I'm already going. He's like, well, if you have anyone who wants to go, like, hit them up. So it's actually pretty funny. First thought is, like, it's a Nets game in Brooklyn. I'm going to hit up my Nets friends. I have one. There's only one that exists that I could hit up. Fortunately, he wanted to go. Then it clicked in my brain. Well, a lot of people probably wanted to see LeBron. I probably could have found someone. Anyways, just transfers me the ticket, had never really talked to him before. I put my buddy to go sit with him. It was a third seat, so it was two of them and him. And we're like, who is this? NFT, right? So I have no clue what they look like, where they're from, any of that stuff. Turns out, two 23-year-old lads from London who had just graduated.
London.
Sorry, lads.
Which London?
Yeah, London, England. Sorry, Eagleson. From London, England. One of them had just graduated. They wanted to come to the States, shag Americans, and party in Manhattan.
COVID.
Wanted to see, you know, LeBron James. They like the culture of basketball. So I met up with them for a beer at halftime. And I'm like, you know, who do you like? He's like, the Miami Heat. I'm like, oh, so you're a LeBron fan. You just stuck with them. And he was like, no, I'm a Duncan Robinson fan. I said, what do you mean you're a Duncan Robinson fan? He's like, I love three-point shooting. I'm like, this guy literally can't make a shot. He's like, I know, but I'm a Miami Heat fan. I like Jimmy. I like Bam. So that is something else, is Duncan Robinson inspiring you to be. But hey, pretty cool for Dunk. So
no Miami love. It's Brooklyn or it's Milwaukee's conference to lose right now. Unless what we're seeing right now, 6 hours from San Fran to LA. Okay. Unless what we're seeing right now from the MVP in basketball, the best big in basketball, debatably the most skilled basketball big ever to play the game.
Hold on, stop it right there. Just stop it right there. If you just cut that soundbite, Eagleson, for me, I will post it on social media and I will ask people who Abe's talking about. You said the MVP, the best player in
this
the world.
This year.
But you didn't say that. That's why it's going to be hilarious. You said that, and you said the most skilled big
ever. I mean, yeah, you're going to do what you always do and just cut it up so it makes it seem like it's your point.
Finish your statement.
We're talking about the MVP this year, the MVP last year, had he played enough games, the best big in basketball, the most skilled big man to ever play the game. If Joel Embiid continues to do what he's doing right now,
he'll get to a conference finals.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once you're there, I mean, the Hawks won a series they weren't supposed to. Why not?
Well, you guys, you know, getting to the conference finals would be just that.
But no, I know on the agenda we had one last player we wanted to talk about, Joel Embiid. You know what's actually funny to me?
So I was like, all right, it's fine.
No, you know what's funny to me, Jack, is you are finally like enjoying Joel Embiid as a basketball player. Watching what he's doing right now.
I'm excited for tomorrow night to see how he kind of stacks up. Because he's one of the things I'm excited about is like he's also not being a foul merchant right now. Like he's actually
he went 18 of 20 from the line yesterday.
I know he gets there because people can't stop him. But before he was actually looking to just draw fouls, and it was
he still does.
But I feel like more it's like they just can't stop him, so they're fouling him. Less than like the hardest.
Nobody can stop him in the NBA. Nobody can stop him in the NBA. AD. And just wait till we get Harden and we become the most boring team in the NBA to watch because we'll just live at the free throw line and it'll be a 4-hour basketball game. But what Joel Embiid is doing right now is unprecedented. It is nuts. Let's just go through the games. 42-14, 4 assists, 4 blocks. 38-12-6, 40-13-6, 50-12-2. 32-8, 32-12, 25-13, 31-6, 31-8, 31-12, 31-5, 31-15, 34-7, 36-11, 36-13. It's nuts. It legitimately reminds me of that streak that Harden went on a few years ago in Houston, where he was averaging 40 points over the span of 7 years, and there was nothing you could do. It was must-watch television every single night.
Trust the process, baby. Both of them are going to be teammates. They're going to be playing together and delivering a conference final banner to the Wells Fargo. It's going to be spectacular. I cannot wait for that day.
You are so terrified. You can hear it in your voice.
I'm not terrified of anything. I just think you got about 6 months before any of this dream even begins to look true to you.
No. If they trade and open up some cap space in 2 weeks, the dream becomes a little bit truer. That's all I'll say.
Fair enough. Eagleson, I didn't even have Eagleson scheduled to speak, but he is a participant of the podcast. You didn't want to remind me that you do something on these days?
I mean, I would like to talk about some school, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Why? You're done with school. You're in college.
There's one thing.
Literally
there's one
in
thing.
London. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm starting my last semester of high school on Monday. And
why do you say high school like Jack does? High school.
How else are you supposed to say it?
High school. High school.
High school.
That all sounds fine.
I don't really see my, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's like high school and Bengals. It's like,
So since it's my last semester, not quadmester, which is kind of nice, it's a real semester. Like, is there like a bucket list or something I like stuff I should do? Like advice for this? Like my last semester of high
school.
Unfortunately, there's been no cafeterias or anything because of COVID. I can start in
Where
class.
Do you eat lunch? I have an idea.
Perfect.
Jack and I went to camp together.
Okay.
And at a young age, I think we were 13, we were the senior boys, and we thought we ran shit. And there was this thing, Color War, and during Color War, you had silent meals where nobody could speak, and then the upper staff would catch you speaking, you would lose a point. One of the other bunks, not Jack and I's bunk, started a game during silent meals, and we joined. The entire 350 overnight camp dining hall was silent as 26 15-year-old boys were yelling penis at the top of their lungs. And it got us kicked out of Color War for the time being. But you could do that in classroom, start playing the penis game with your friends.
That's an all-time one, right? Like, you can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with that. You could start a food fight. You could just don't go.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been doing so far, but it's a pretty tough semester. I've got business, psychology, and biology.
And what do you need to graduate is what you should
I just need yourself. To pass the classes and I'm fine. That was my only condition on my college offer, so that should be okay. But
you know what you should do?
What?
Bucket list?
Yeah.
Is get a Leafs playoff run. That would be amazing to carry through the semester.
That would be amazing, but...
Like, you should go all in. Like, watch every game. Like, consume all the content in your free time and just be like...
Just buy in.
Fully buy in. Like,
all eggs in one basket, and if not, well, you're going to London next year.
Exactly.
So you'll take up soccer.
I could do that. I'm down for that.
Yeah? Maybe text Jack. You can Venmo us. We'll place a bet on them for you to win the cup.
I like that.
Anything you want. Anything you want. Buy a jersey. Like, you know what? Like, you have nothing else to do. You're in college. All you have to do is pass the class. What better to do than go all in on your team when, by all accounts, I mean, I don't keep up with the NHL standings as much. I only really pay attention to hockey loosely
Flyers
for about 35 seconds.
All-time losing streak record, by the way.
Wait, we won today?
No, like they broke their franchise record for games lost in a row.
It's still good.
Breaking records. Breaking records. I mean, listen, the Leafs are third in the Atlantic Division. I don't know what that means.
Now they're having a good year, but that's why it's kind of scary. But
that's my point, is go in, get ready to be, don't even be like, I'm ready to have my heart broken. Be like so in where it's like, we're actually winning this thing.
Okay.
There's no heartbreaking this time.
Okay.
That would be my advice.
All right. I'll do that then. All in.
That'll be, what? And my simple question to Jack's proposal is, what could go wrong?
Okay. All in.
You might as well buy into Tua too while you're at it.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You don't have enough time for that.
Brian Daboll, he's going to be the new OC. He was Tua's OC at Bama.
What? Brian Daboll is not going to be an offensive coordinator.
He's going to be the head coach. That's what I meant.
I'm hearing from the Giants that they're getting him. So
they're getting Flores.
Did you get him?
He's coming to Miami. Don't worry.
Okay.
Right. Oh, I'm not. Told you, I'm not.
I'm sure Brian Daboll's offense will have no drop off. It's all him behind Josh Allen. And
you know what? I was thinking about this honestly. It's like I'm seeing, like, the Packers offensive coordinators getting a lot of head coaching and stuff like that. At what point like Josh McDaniels is getting all this head coaching in previous years, and
the enemy can't get a job. I mean,
and when he went to Denver, then Josh McDaniels was shit. Like, at what point do people have to realize, to an extent, coaches don't do shit?
Allen was pretty brutal.
Allen is different because he had one of the biggest and unprecedented jumps from his rookie year, in which X amount of guys that had his stats in his first year or two probably didn't make it past their first contract.
Right.
But at what point do we stop this? Well, they were with the Packers who won 13 games. It must like they had Aaron Rodgers. Like yeah. Dable had Josh Allen. So Dable did help in Josh Allen's improvement. And I know Jack, he was regressing at some point this year. And unless he gets the second.
You're welcome, Josh Allen.
He actually did regress this year. He's not going to be second overall in the MVP yeah. voting.
That's fine.
So Jack was right about him regressing. And it's like, the good news is the only way is up for Tua.
I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily true. He can get worse.
What do you mean?
He can throw even shorter really? Passes, more picks.
He could start throwing behind the line yeah. of scrimmage instead of right in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, fam. Well, we got a weekend ahead of us. I hope it's a good one. I will be at USA Quali tomorrow night. Should be quite spectacular.
Who they play?
Play El Salvador, I believe. Should be a good
feels
one.
Like an L. Feels like an
nah,
L.
No, no, no. We'll win. It's on home turf. So have a great weekend. Hopefully the games live up to the hype. Other than that,
probably won't.
Snapback fam, much love. Peace.